Exodus 16, verse 1, and it reads, it says, and they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. Which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. So when you look at this thing, and I think there were some things that that I think Alan had mentioned about from us covering this when they were, you know, trying to take us back to some things that they were encamping. You know, we basically pointed out that they encamped around the Red Sea. It wasn't that it was just a journey from Egypt and then they just went on and kept going and crossed over the promise, over into the promised land before, you know, Yah destroyed Pharaoh's army. But you remember, as we discussed it, they were encamped about it. So they had been there for a period of time. So when you look at things that's associated with this, as we deal with verse 1, it says, and they took the journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. So when you see this here, it's just showing the 15th day of the second month after the departing out of Egypt. Then verse 2 says, the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to Yah we had died by the hand by the hand of Jehovah in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots. Now, when you look at the word flesh, I'm just trying to see if there are some things in there that would give us even deeper understanding. But no, it is what it is, flesh pots. And when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. And so when you look at the things that's going on as far as that is concerned, you're looking at the mindset of our nation as we're out here in the wilderness and we're in the desert. And so from that standpoint, you know, it's just kind of funny because there's some things that, you know, I can see a picture of what it's going to be looking like as far as our future is concerned. Now think about this, y'all. Here you have these people, our nation, who have come out of Egypt. They're in the wilderness, and look at the things that they're remembering. It's okay, I remember sitting by the flesh pot. You know, I remember the bread. I remember all the things. Can you imagine when the remnant of us is back in the land and we remember all, you know, I remember all the, Deion likes steak, some of us can say. I remember all the steaks. You know, I remember all the things that we were used to eating, drinking. You know, remember sitting by the flat. You know, I remember when I used to just want something to eat, I could just go by, you know, long working Captain D's, just go by Captain D's, give me a fish basket, you know. All these things, from a perspective of our nation, from what they're accustomed to in Egypt, you will see this same mindset when we first go out, you know, into the land. There's going to be a lot of conveniences that are what we call conveniences that once we go back, it's not going to be this way. God's going to take us back and you know, put us in a position where we have turned to him. And ain't going to be no, you know, watching the empire. It's all that kind of stuff. It's going to be him getting our mindset to get on the same page with him as a nation of people. And from that standpoint, that's what the murmuring and complaining is about. So they looked at it as, okay, we are out here, and we don't have all the conveniences as far as what we're used to in Egypt. Man, they just bring us out here to die. Here we are, Pat got us out here, man, and we can't watch Empire, we can't watch, our favorite show, man, I can't just give me some meat, man, you mean I got to go over here and we got to, dig a well and all this kind of stuff? This don't make no sense. We could have stayed in America, Just kind of give you a general idea to get a mental picture of what's going on with these people and why they're just, complaining about different things. You have to understand what they're used to. They're used to being in Egypt, although they were in bondage and in slavery, like the same way we're still in bondage, in captivity here, but still there are things that they're used to and they're accustomed to on a daily basis, because it lets you know that although they were in slavery, in captivity, they still had things. They still were able to eat certain things and it wasn't like they were just throwing them slop and all that kind of stuff. It's like the way we are now. We can go eat what we want. We can go where we want to go, but we're still in captivity. Okay? And so with that in mind, you understand it from the same mindset as you see the whole congregation, verse 2, complaining. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, and the children of Israel said unto them. So it shows what the complaining is about. They're complaining about, man, we don't have the stuff that we used to. Children of Israel said, verse 3, unto them, would to God that we had died by the hand of Jehovah in the land of Egypt. Man, I wish I was back in America. We're out here in the middle of nowhere, and all the conveniences and life, like my girl said, man, is, and stuff out here crawling around, and I ain't used to all this here, dealing like, man, I can't be walking through this stuff. I need some boots. Just got a sort of things to give us an understanding of how, God's going to deal with us. He's going to humble us as a nation. So it's not like we're going to go out there and we're going to have all the conveniences. We're going to have to learn all over to trust Yah. And in order for us to learn how to trust Yah, he's going to have to put us in situations where it comes across as not being just convenient for us as a people. We're going to learn how to trust him. He's going to always provide, but we're going to have to learn how to trust him all over. So as soon as they get out of here, they're already complaining. Man, I remember the pots, the flesh pots, and I remember the bread. I remember all these other things that I had convenient. That was convenient to me, and here I am, here. You're right here in this wilderness, man, ain't nothing out here. Don't know what we're going to eat. I don't see no food, no nothing. We're in the wilderness. Okay? And verse 2-3, and the children of Israel said unto them, what to Yah, we had died by the hand of Jehovah in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pot, and when we did eat bread to the full. We were in slavery, but man, we still had plenty to eat and stuff like that. For ye have brought us forth into the wilderness to kill this whole congregation with hunger. It wasn't necessarily that they were hungry, it's just a certain thing they were used to. Verse 4. Then said Jehovah unto Moses, because see, it shows that there's something going on with us as a nation during this time. To let it know it's beyond just being hungry. It's other things going on in our nation's mind at the time. Verse 4, then said Jehovah unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven. Okay, he's raining bread from heaven now, okay? From heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them. You see that? May prove. Now, when you look at the word prove, it means the test. Attempt. I'm going to try this people. Because I got you out here in this wilderness. You see me bring you out by a mighty hand, and you still got enough nerve to go complain about stuff. So I'm going to try you. I'm going to try you as a nation. Okay? They said, I'm going to rain bread. I'm going to prove them. He said, whether they will walk in my law. or no? So when you look at the manna now, and we'll see that's what it was, you know, we're dealing with as we continue to go down and look at the verse. So when you look at all these things that are going on with us as a nation, not that Yah can't provide us the best thing, is that he's allowing things to happen in our life for whatever reason or another to try us.
Even when you look at the statement of what state is later, I mean, he didn't say, well, that was the reason to save lives or blood. So it's like a test. I'm going to test you to see if you're going to be faithful to the little bit. Before I give you any more, why give you any more when I know if you ain't faithful to the little bit, I ain't no need to give you no more. Exactly. And this is the thing that gets most so-called Christians where as they start getting involved in the things of Yah.
And because it ain't going, they don't have all the benefits of what most preachers said should happen from you being in church. You know, when you happen in, you know, you're in church, I got my Rolls Royce, my new car, my money, my houses, and all this, and then you have folks coming into the church, and they seeing all these things, and so they're comparing that in order to determine, to make a determination if y'all are actually walking with them or not. And y'all are like, okay, I try everybody that I deal with. Everything ain't gonna happen the way that we feel like it ought to happen because Yah is saying, he said, I'll test you, I'll try you. I'll see if what's going on in your heart is the same as what I want in there. I'm gonna try you and test you. Okay, you say you trust me? I'm gonna fix the situation where you have to. You say you're living for me? Then I'll create an environment to test what you said you are, what you said you want from me as far as relationships and all that. And so, you know, again, like Alan said, he tests us with little things before he trusts us with the whole lot. I remember the first time, you know, I started experiencing some testing. You know, I experienced a whole lot of them, to be honest. But the first one I recall experiencing is when, you know, when I had the first house we had gotten behind on the mortgage and different things like that, and had got way behind and was struggling trying to pay the, you know, bills and different things like that. And then I, you know, I was taking, you know, money that I did have, and y'all was telling me to do other things with it. One time I had the money to pay the mortgage, and he said, I want you to go to Chicago. I'm like, okay, I'll do exactly what you said, but I mean, this is the mortgage money that I got to go to Chicago with. Take the mortgage money and go to Chicago with it. Get to Chicago with it. And, you know, get a hotel room. You're down here for a couple of days, and you come back 3 days later. Now the mortgage is due and all this here. So once things kept getting, you know, further and further behind, my mindset was this. I'm like, you know what? Man, if I lose the house, I'm going to quit preaching. But I'm saying, be honest, I was like, if I lose the house, I'm going to quit preaching. You know, I'm done with this here, man. I can go sit down somewhere. You know, if I lose the house, you know, no, I'm just tired of dealing with all this here. So, you know, if I lose the house, I'm telling God, if I lose the house, I'm going to quit preaching. That's what I told him. Driving down the road, going to the house. If we lose the house, I'm going to quit preaching. So I was like, okay, I'm going to test you on that, boy. I'm going to test you and let you know that there's something going on with you that's far beyond a house. And when you pass this test, you're going to know without a doubt that you don't live by bread alone, that you live by every word that proceeds out of my mouth. And from that point on, there would be nothing that would be able to stand in your way and you making a comparison of whether you're going to stay with me or not based upon what's happening that you can see, the senses again. Okay? And long story short, we end up losing the house. Still here today. You know, y'all showed me that he tests me. Okay? If that's how you feel about it, let me test you on that then. That's the very thing you're going to lose. Since you made up your mind that you're going to quit preaching if you lose it. Let me show you who really running things. Okay? So you're looking at it from this standpoint. Verse 4, then said Jehovah unto Moses. Do you guys have anything else? This said Jehovah unto, or anybody else, by the way. Then said Jehovah unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you,
and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day. There's some things we get an understanding of about this manna. Every day that I may prove, test, I'm going to test you, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or no. He says a certain rate. I'm going to test you with a little bit. There's going to be manna, bread that's going to fall from heaven. It was manna, as you find out, they didn't know what it was, so they called it manna, as meaning what is it? It looked from the description of it and what the Bible says, it tastes like, it reminded you of kind of like a little wafer. It had a little sweet taste, and kind of like little honey on a waffle or something like that. Kind of give you a general idea of what the manna was. Okay, now, again, he says he's going to test them. Verse 5 says, it shall come to pass on the sixth day, ye shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much they gather daily. So he says, gather a certain amount daily, but on the sixth day, you gather twice as much. Why? Why would you think that? Why would you think he would tell them on the sixth day to gather twice as much? Yes, ma'am. The Sabbath day is a Saturday, and so he's like, we don't do anything on the Sabbath. I'm teaching y'all my law, statutes, and judgment. This is before he gives us the law. So when you look at Genesis, the Sabbath is a day that all mankind was supposed to keep holy. He created everything in 6 days. On the seventh day, he rested, the Sabbath. So it's a law. We're supposed to refrain from work and all that on the Sabbath. Be honest, from Friday evening around dusk, 5 or 6 o'clock, to Saturday evening about 7, about 5 or 6 o'clock Saturday, we're not supposed to do any kind of labor. Any kind of labor and things like that. If there's food going to be prepared, it's according to our law or according to Yah's word, since it's back in Genesis also, but it's in our law too, that we're not supposed to be cooking in the kitchen and different things like that on the Sabbath. Friday evening to Saturday evening. That's that. We're supposed to remember. So that's why he's saying, I don't even want you going out picking up bread. That's labor. The manna falls from heaven. I don't even want you going out there picking it up. So you pick up twice as much on the sixth day. So on the seventh day, you have it left. Okay, to last you on the Sabbath. Okay. Now, verse 5 says, I know I was lazy like that because they're like, well, we can go out and eat or something on the Sabbath, something. But we're not supposed to do any kind of labor. Okay. But since we're in bondage, we can't. It's hard for us to keep all these laws because we have jobs and different things like that. The job may require us to come in on Saturday, and we have to do certain things because we're in our captivity. So we can't fully do everything. You get some Israelites who be like, I'm going to do it. Well, we're now disobeying other facets of the law. Where certain things we're supposed to obey, even on the scripture, obey your master and different things like that. So we have to balance the thing like that. Don't get out of order by trying to be in order on one other facet. Okay. Then verse 5 says, it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel at even, that ye shall know that Jehovah has brought you out from the land of Egypt, colon. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of Jehovah. For he that heareth your murmuring against Jehovah, for that he heareth your murmuring against Jehovah, and we are, and what are we that ye murmur against us? Verse 8, and Moses said, this shall be when Jehovah shall give you in the evening flesh to eat. See this? And in the morning bread to the full. For that Jehovah heareth your murmuring, which ye murmur against him, and what are we? Your murmuring are not against us, but against Jehovah. And see, we have to understand how things are as far as art is concerned. When you look at how Moses is dealing with this, he's saying, okay,
When we deal with leadership, let's just deal with the same sort of perspective of leadership is concerned. When there's things going on even as far as leadership and we don't agree, especially if it's something that Yah is doing, you know, we leaders can get foolish at times. But I'm saying if it's something that Yah has us doing as a ministry and we start to murmur and complain, it ain't against me. Yah the one that the murmuring and complaining is against. I'll use this for example, especially, you know, with the guys and stuff like that, and they've been really good about helping and stuff like that. Like, for instance, when we pick a day and y'all, you know, lead me and say, okay, y'all, well, this particular day we're going to go up and do water. Well, I don't think we ought to do water and stuff like that. You know, we all kind of sit down and talk about it and get on the same page, but I'm just saying from the perspective of murmuring and complaining. Well, I don't want to do it. I just don't feel like doing this. Y'all be like, you're not murmuring and complaining against what just been set up as far as the time to complain is concerned. You're not murmuring against me. But like I said, the guy's been really good about it and stuff like that. We always get the job done. But I just use that as an example to show us how we can get off course. Y'all may have us doing a particular thing, and when he lead us to do a particular thing, just like here pretty soon, I'm going to make an announcement as y'all lead me. I'm going to make an announcement that, hey, we need to go down to Honey Grove once it warm up just a little bit more, and we need to do a really thorough cleanup of the building, and we just need to do a real thorough cleanup because we hadn't been going down there consistently like we normally do. So we just need to set a day aside, and I know it's, you know, the best time for us to do it is on the Sabbath, but because we're understanding the Sabbath, we may just take a Sunday and go down and just attend, you know. We may plan some things and kind of orchestrate it in a way to where we can go down, you know. It's just some ways we may be able to do it, you know. I'm really trying to stick with doing things and honoring the Sabbath the way that we should, but at the same time with the understanding that the Sabbath is made for us, not us for the Sabbath. And so it may be things we can't help it, and we do things. That's the reason why, we pump the water out on Sunday instead of on the Sabbath and things like that, because I try to honor the Sabbath. And then at the same time, it's really convenient because we don't have to deal with code compliance and all that passing through being nosy. Sunday, all of it ain't thinking about us, you know. So I said it from that standpoint. We're all going to go down. We'll set up a time to go down there, clean up the place, get it ready, because we're finna start doing some events back in Honey Grove. So just kind of getting y'all prepared for it. We're going to be going down at different times. It's going to be some time we may go down on the Sabbath evening, spend some time, have just a sleep, you know, down or whatever. You know, Janice, you can let Luther know, tell him, you know, if you want to go down, just all kind of just go cold turkey and have sleeping bags and all that. I know how he on the Sabbath too, so it may not be something you want to do as far as the travel. But, you know, just kind of, you know, bring everybody down, just kind of spend the night, get up the next day, and by y'all's permission, because we're trying to reach other people in the community as well as family members and things like this up here, that we're trying to do some things and talk to them and need reaching. We're trying to do some things. So they get up, you know, even though it is a Sabbath, y'all give us permission and pick the big breakfast and just have fun, let the kids play and just do stuff down there. We're planning on doing this quite a bit this year. And so we're going to be going to Honey Grove quite a bit on the Sabbath, you know, maybe on a Saturday, may stay till Sunday, may have Sunday service down there. It's going to be some things that we're going to be doing this year and utilize the property that we own down there. So, you know, get prepared for that. So, use that as an example. You know, y'all lead us on a specific time to do it, and then we just murmuring and complaining, y'all be like, okay, that's against me. And so we want to make sure that we all stay on one accord and things like that, okay? Now, verse 8 says, Moses said, this shall be when Jehovah shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to be to the full. For Jehovah heareth your murmuring and your murmur against him, and what are we? Your murmuring are not against us, but against Jehovah. Verse 9, and Moses spake unto Aaron, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before Jehovah, for he hath heard your murmuring.
Now, let's look at the word murmuring, okay? Grumbling is the same thing, what we understand it. Grumbling, fussing, complaining, so on and so forth. Verse 10, and it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of Jehovah appeared in the cloud. Appeared in the cloud, and Jehovah spake unto Moses, saying, I ain't ready to deal with that right now. So that cloud thing, y'all know we dealt with it a little bit. People gonna trip out when they really see God in his cloud. Then it said, Jehovah spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at evening ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread. And ye shall know that I am Jehovah your Yah. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up. Okay? Now, when you look at the word quail, there are things that we'll get understanding from as we move through this here. And it came to pass even the quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as a hoarfrost on the ground. Okay, now hoarfrost, let's just understand certain words. It says a basin, but we'll continue on. Verse 15 said, and when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna. Okay, it is manna. The Hebrew says man, it means whatness. Okay, they didn't know what it was, and so they called it manna. That's Hebrew for what is this? What is this? Whatness. For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which Jehovah has given you to eat. So this manna is the bread that Jehovah has given, okay? It's not from the perspective of the bread that we understand, it's manna, okay? That Jehovah has given you to eat. Verse 16, this is the thing which Jehovah had commanded, gather of it every man according to his eating. Now look at how Yah works things out. To show you how he has always meant for things to be balanced this way in mankind. To show us, or to give us an understanding how mankind is off balance in comparison to how Yah thinks. Now look at the instructions he gives, verse 16. This is the thing which Jehovah has commanded, gather of it every man according to his eating, and omer, okay? It says a sheaf, a dry measure, a omer for every man according to the number of your person. Take ye every man for them which are in his tent. Okay, all of us in a tent, then I would have to go out and gather enough for all of you that's in my tent or in my family. Okay, then it says 17, and the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. Why some more and some less now? Why do you think some of them gathered more and some gathered less? Let's go back up to the next verse and let it help you. To the eating. Y'all remember when I ask you something, the worst place to look when I ask you a question is up in the ceiling because the answer is not there. Y'all ain't gonna drop it down. The answer is within the text. So when I ask you something, it's already been revealed in the text. Remember that, okay? So don't start thinking yourself and things like that. Always look for the answer. The answer is always in the text. You know, it's kind of like what is that when you read a story, all the answers in the story when you was in school. You know, you didn't go try to look it up, try to figure out why all the answers. You started to go back to proofreading to try to find the answer somewhere in the text. The answer's always in the text, y'all. So when I ask you something, just start going back to what I was reading to try to find your answer. Okay? And that's what Alan mentioned. What you said again, Alan?
Every man has a question.
Right.
Some less, some more.
Exactly. So when you look at it, verse 16, there's the answer. Alan just went back up to verse 16 with an answer. He said, this is the thing which Jehovah has commanded. Gather you every man according to his eating. Don't be going out like you at first and stacking the plate and you can't eat it all. Y'all said, get only what you can eat. Gather man, every man according to his eating. Why? Next day you're going to have something. I meet your needs. Don't worry about tomorrow. Gather what you need. And once we understood that as society, we wouldn't always be trying to hoard stuff up. That's why you got certain, you know, people who have, you know, a lot more wealth than other people, is because they have hoarded it up so long to the point to where you got a small group of people being some of the richest people in the world, and they have way more money than they could ever spend in their lifetime. But yet, their mindset is so based upon selfish that they're a billionaire, still trying to hoard it up, still trying to take from us. You got billionaires every day trying to figure out how to take from us because they don't understand we're so disconnected from Yah as mankind that you have everybody always trying to have way more than what's necessary. So you look at this concept and you understand Philippians 4:19. But my Yah shall supply all your needs. What you need? So that's why I tell people, if it's not happening, you don't need it. He usually supplies the needs. Okay? In Matthew 6:33, we seek ye first kingdom of Yah, and he'll add all these things unto you. You go back up and look at the other verse, what we need. See what I'm saying? What we need. And so I'm going to use my brother-in-law for him because, you know, he messed with me a lot about it. He'd be just teasing me. He don't mean nothing about it. Sometimes he'll tease me. He'd be like, stop, you got all these cars, brother-in-law. You got all these cars. He teasing me about this, all these cars. And I say to him, brother-in-law, I need them. Y'all need me. I'll be saying, I need them. I'll be like, that time when I use the van. Van has purpose. The Honda has purpose. If people be thinking I'm kidding, I'd be like, they really have purpose. Sometimes when I need to shut down the road and go a lot of miles, I jump in that Honda. He get me there and I don't burn a lot of gas. Sometimes I need to load everybody up. Well, we got the van. Road trip. How you call it road trip? That's what I holler when we get in the van. Road trip! Let them know it's a lot of us, and we all going in the van. Purpose. Okay? Got the BMW. BMW has purpose. I get in that whenever I'm going to, you know, church settings, I'm going to preach somewhere and different things like that. I'll get in that because I told y'all I want to have a car that I can drive around in. I don't spend a lot of money for it, but I want it to look like you want to be represented when I pull up in it. He gave me the BMW. As far as the truck is concerned, for y'all, I just want something to look nice, real old. I like old stuff. I want something nice to ride around in and be able to fix it up. Got the truck. Okay? Need something for Deanna to ride around in and things like that. He's okay. I'll give you a D6. You need me. What was that?
Two speed.
Okay, when the need is there, the 2 feet will come. And so that's what I mean from that. Just totally lost it by the 2 feet of that. And so we have to understand how things work as far as the kingdom is concerned. Y'all meet needs. Y'all meet needs, and that's how he'll do that. And the way we see him meeting the need, when you look at all those vehicles, I got, you know, one given to me, one I paid a little nothing for it. Well, all the rest of them, I paid a little nothing for it, except for G6, bought it brand new. But what it cost, I ended up getting it for almost $14,000, less than what the car was valued at. I said, boy, I'm going to show you how it works this thing. I'm going to give you now. I told him, put everything on it. I thought that car was almost $34,000. When we walked off this island, it was $21,000. And so that's how Yah, you know, does things when his hand is on something he needs. You know, Tonya and brother, I went and got two cars at the same time. People say, I don't think no fit somebody do that. Me?
See?
Yeah, I'm supplying me. You know, so that's how things work, okay? Now, verse 16, this is a thing which Jehovah has commanded. Oh, I read it already, didn't I? Yeah, verse 16. This is a thing which Jehovah had commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye your man for, when you look at the omer, it's really important that we, I mean, I always want to deal with it says a dry measure, or it says a,
well,
two,
no.
64, it just says 64 ounce cup.
It says 2 liters.
Okay, 2 liters? Yeah, okay, two liters of this manna, because what they could do with the manna, they could take and grind it. It wasn't that they just took it and just ate it like that. They could grind it like in a meal and do different things with it. As you read it, there's sometimes they grind the manna. And so when you look at it, just think he was saying, okay, in the morning, I'm giving you a cup of food. You know, 6 4 ounce cup of food for an individual. That's your morning meal. In the evening, I'm gonna give you some meat. So can you imagine how disciplined that makes us as far as our physical body is concerned to not be able to consume different things and stuff like that? You know, we're going to be feeling real good out there because he's going to get us on his diet plan. Okay? Omer for every man, according to the number of your persons, take ye every man for them which are in the tent. And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less, because they had bigger families, some of them did, than others. So the bigger family had every man in there had to get a 64-ounce cup. And so that was enough to supply all the families that was in that particular household. Some had less. Some may have had 20 family members. Some had 10. Well, you get it according to what you have. And that's how God meant things to be equal for mankind across the board, even today. It shouldn't be billionaires and then you got people homeless down in the street. Y'all never intended for things to be that way. Every man's supposed to have what they need. Okay, nothing more, nothing less. Okay? Then verse 17 says, the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. Verse 18 says, and when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over. See? Everybody gathered and had exactly what they needed. We weren't scraping food in the trash. Okay, I gotta admit something. You know, she gonna glow when I say this. I admire my youngest daughter. She's very disciplined with her food. She only eat what she needs. She always happen like that. She'll tell you, I don't like to be full. I'm the same way, but I overdo it sometimes. I'll be like, I don't like to be full. I'll be laying there about to pop, you know. And I can't stand it when I'm like that. So she's the same way, but the only thing about it, she's very disciplined with it. So I don't care where she is, what she's eating, she's going to only eat enough to be satisfied. She never overeats. Very seldom have I seen her overeat. And so, you know, she probably do pretty good out there. So she'd be out there and be like, okay, that's enough. I had my little cup, 64-ounce cup, and it's just enough. I ain't got nothing to scrape in the trash or nothing like that. And she's always been like this. She only eats what she needs. And so she always get just enough. You very seldom see her with a plate loaded down with stuff. She only get just enough. If it is loaded down, she ain't finna eat all. She eat a fruit bite. When her spirit tell her that's enough, she done. She ain't gonna eat nothing. She's always been that way. I ain't gonna say always, and one time she was a little puffy dress, but she's just real good. She's really good about that. She's real good about that. You know, I admire her for that. I just sit back and think, my baby's disciplined when it comes down to that food. Verse 18 saying, when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lot. In other words, the person that gathered a whole lot, it was nothing straight in the trash. The person who gathered a little, it was enough. Y'all was meeting the need of the people.
Big fan of the small fan. Everybody got to be there. That, now, that's an encouragement to us that y'all remember this, y'all. Y'all will always meet our need if we trust him. He will always meet our need. If he's not meeting our need, then that's for us to understand that we may have more than what we need. He always meets the need. And so, go ahead.
Lord, if you sure, I find it interesting. Even in just so, for example, like if I plant whatever, let's say tomatoes, and under the natural process of things, that tomato plant may produce something, but it's gonna produce more than what I need, right? So I share.
Right.
And so it's like it was always designed to be something where we give outward. It's like the way things have been systematically done has caused us to operate differently. Or even, for example, if I, let's say I had a cow and I killed it.
Right.
Well, obviously I ain't gonna be able to eat all that cow
right.
before it's raw.
Right.
So the whole mindset is, okay, when I kill this cow for everybody. Everybody gets some because from y'all's perspective, it was always meant to be that way. And it's like, his system allows us not to be able to afford it that way. But it's like, as we have come up with things over the course of time, stuff that we call progress, it has caused us to regress.
Right. And that's a good way to put it, too. And from what you just said, Delana, you work at Captain D's. What do y'all do with the food that's left? They take it home or throw it away. Now, when you look at that, I said it for a reason. There are some restaurants that I've come across that would rather throw that food away. Huh? Yeah, most would rather throw that food away than to give it to somebody who needs it. They would rather put it in the trash. To go with what Alan just mentioned, that the mindset of progress is really regression. Because they'll look at that as progress. You know, this is a business, we're in this to make money, and we don't want to give this food away. Well, that progression is really a regression, because now, see, you got people hungry, but you'd rather throw it in the trash than to have some employees designed or designated to maybe just drive down stuff, those, and just up under all the bridges. You know, we was driving the other day coming over there, and then I was like, I didn't know all the people down there in the Kansas tent. Look, Kansas City down there. Just like if you had restaurants who understand this biblical principle and be like, you know, we're going to take what's left and we're going to go make sure somebody has enough. Now, it's restaurant in trash.
I
got
a friend who
wanted
it like that.
Mm-hmm.
You got a bakery, Adrian's Bakery, my wife. And you don't believe it, they owe.
Mm-hmm.
Everything they throw it away.
Right.
You know, and take pies, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Next day they throw it away.
Right. And
I worked at Walmart, they do the same thing.
Right.
And I think at first they did, but it's like people abused the way they did it, so they just did away with it.
Right.
The way everything was.
Right.
And I think that's
part of the thing, too. They don't want to assume any liability.
Right.
So they just, but again, all those things are tied to a system that is supposed to be progressive, man, and
right. Because it shows, like you said, the regressive portion of it. Whereas if people realize that things were set aside that could help them, then they wouldn't turn around and try to sue the folks that's bringing them the stuff. And then at the same time,
well, if we had a just legal system,
exactly,
I couldn't bring a case where I eat something out of the garbage or eat something out of the
way,
and because something happened to me, I'm going to sue them for millions of dollars.
Right.
Because it's backwards. If I was going to judge things according to how y'all ordained, that judgment wouldn't be so. But
mm-hmm.
because all these things are out of order across the board,
mm-hmm.
it causes all these things to happen this way in a regressive state.
Right. That's good. And, you know, and that shows from here we are looking at our nation and how things were set up for us by Yah to sustain us on a daily basis. And then you look at the day, how far from it we are.
Which shows how impossible it would be to do these things in captivity.
Mm-hmm.
It's some systematic stuff that's systematically opposed to doing it, y'all.
Right.
He
exactly.
has to be in our own land here.
Exactly. Oh, we can't benefit. That's true. That's true. Now, again, verse 18, I'll read it again. It said, when they met with an Omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. He said, okay, don't have it, you know, we not have leftover manna tomorrow. Let no man have it till the morning. Now look at how he deal with this and why. Now verse 20 says, notwithstanding, they hearken not unto Moses. You know, we Israelites, think about it, y'all. Well, shoot, man, I'm taking me a plate home. You know, but y'all showing us the instructions are given. Okay, don't everybody have what they need. Don't be storing it.
I'm like,
what about this,
man? Back in the day, if they did take more, everybody had animals.
How
animals
ate. Good.
Dogs, goats, pigs.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
the leftovers,
the
sick feet
of the house. Yeah, we had, I mean, our dog Snoopy, he would not eat dog food. He ate what we ate. He put some dog food down there if you want to. He look at you like, what the world is this? I am not a dog. I eat what y'all eat. He put some rice down there, whatever, he gonna eat. He ate what we ate. He would not eat it if it wasn't what we ate. And, you know, Snoopy is my, you know, dog. He's mixed with chow and poodle. Had solid white with little red patches on his ears. Looked like a little shorter version of a chow. So we would not eat nothing but what we ate. Every time we ate, Snoopy ate. And I named Snoopy because he was sleep on his back. But you know, even when you look at things from this perspective, verse 20 says, notwithstanding, they hearken not unto Moses, but some of them left it until the morning, and it bred worms. See, so this is the answer of questions of things in its natural state. If we got food, that doesn't naturally manifest worms in it from sitting around for a period of time, that ain't right food. Everything that, so you gotta hear this, everything that Yah creates that perishes, it has natural things in it that causes worms to, because Yah is not wasteful. Mm-hmm. Whereas there are certain things that's not harmful to us when we consume it within its proper time, but if we don't, then it will manifest. Hey, let's just have a loaf of bread sitting there. I'm just saying something, lack of a better way to put it, or some kind of food sitting there, and then all of a sudden you're like, man, the top was on this thing. Where do these worms come from? You look at the natural process of life. Well, when Yah creates something, it's not wasteful. So he has something going on with it to the point to where if it sits around long enough, then the worms will consume it because Yah doesn't waste anything. He meets needs.
It's the perfect recycling system. Everything, even people, if you die, you go back to the ground.
Exactly.
Everything has its purpose,
mm-hmm.
but everything can be reborn or restored into something else. Nothing is wasted.
Exactly. And so that's how you know, you take old chips and sit it down there, and only the worm is going to jump and going to manifest out of that chip because it's processed. It's man-made. Uh-huh. Say it loud enough where everybody hear you.
Do they mean like they're not supposed to be like in the actual casket? They're supposed to be like the cells and
worms? That is the real process of life. We're not supposed to be put in the casket. We're supposed to be put in the ground. From dust you came and dust you go back in.
And it's funny that she mentioned that because
your point.
I feel like y'all were dealing with me on that earlier from this perspective. It's like, it's kind of like this. And the best way I can explain it is this. It's like, in life, people have a choice whether or not they're going to line up to what y'all want. And so, from that perspective, if you choose not to line up, then I'm trying to think how the best way to put it.
I know what it is.
So it's, the best way I can put the analogy is this. It's like God designed for all of us to be diamonds. That's what I can put it. So you can become a diamond by lining up to what y'all want, or if you refuse, the pressures of life can force you to become that diamond. Or if you refuse and you die, then when your body go back in the ground, it'll become that diamond because it can be used for something else. It may not ever get credit to your account, but what was you can benefit y'all in some way. And it's almost like, and I thought about it, and I was like, but even today, we stop us from even nurturing back the ground. Like, we can't.
We put it in casket, we fill it up with, what's that stuff? Environment fluid. Everything is designed to rebel against y'all. Everything. And that's why y'all gonna deal with mankind and get us back on the same page with him. Everything is designed to rebel against y'all. And here we are as a nation of people, and it's the same thing. You know, you can't go bury somebody. You know, they gotta make money off of you for that. Now I gotta make money. I'm grieving, and then I gotta pay you money to put my loved one in the ground. Look how crazy that stuff is.
See, you get in trouble for wanting to follow y'all. If I wanted to bury him in the ground in the backyard, I can't
do it. And you can bury a person, now put them, dig them down far enough where, you know, you won't smell or anything like that. And in the process of time, that body will be used by the soil and all that. But society won't let us line up with how y'all work. And so when you're sitting there, you have a box of something, what you call them, weevils or whatever they call them? Some little thing you go to flying and be in a box of weed or something like that. Is it called weevils? I can't remember. Yeah, people are like, where that stuff come from? That's something that's in the natural process of life whereby within it, it is there and designed to start consuming that stuff because nature is associated with it. If ain't nothing flying up out of it, can you let it sit there all that time and stop its process? Don't nothing natural want it. Okay. You know, Adam and I, we go get spring water quite a bit, and I was watching this documentary, and it was saying that you can take and pour tap water in a bowl, you can pour spring water in a bowl, and a dog would go out to spring water every time because the dog senses the proper nutrients and stuff in that spring water more so than he do that water. He know the spring water is alive and the tap water is dead, so you put two bowls in front of him, he's thirsty, he's watching spring water every time.
And probably his sense of smell is strong.
Exactly.
You can probably smell that.
Exactly. And that's another thing to say.
He ain't got no clue.
Right.
Like,
you go out to spring water every time. They kept doing it. That dog would smell that tap water and smell the spring water. He'd go to spring water every time. That'll tell us something. You know, and so just looking at this verse as we're dealing with this here, and then it's 8 o'clock, so we get ready to close as we finish this. We'll just finish verse 21, and then we'll stop. Start back again. Verse 20 says, notwithstanding they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them, he's angry with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. Yeah, it's not wasteful. Now, guess what? It melted in the ground, so I guarantee the ground is benefiting from it. You know, he's not wasteful. I will start in verse 22 and stop. And it came to pass on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much. Why? Sabbath. Twice as much bread, two omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. We'll stop right here and we'll start back around verse 20 next week. So just make a note, we'll start at verse 20 next week.
Also, they show what Yahweh said, I'm going to catch these people, so they're not going to keep my law.
Mm-hmm.
So for the ones that obeyed, wasn't no issue. They had what they needed, they were good.
Mm-hmm.
For the ones that didn't, it was rising and sinking and all these things was going on.
Right. And as we deal with on next week, we'll see that you can take the manna and they can break it, They could bake it and make cakes with it, and if there's a lot of things they could do with it. They could bake, grind into a meal. So we'll look at all this on next week. We'll start at verse 20 again, Exodus 16, verse 20. We'll stop right here. Any other questions coming? All right. Father, y'all, we just come to you, and we, again, just thank you for another training school lesson that we are able to look at things and get an understanding of our past so that we can understand our now and even our future. And we bless you for that, and we just ask you to continue to lead and guide us in all truth. We need that. Y'all, we need you in our life on a daily basis. Slide in on our minds so that we may be the children of the Most High, being obedient to you in every way. We bless you in the name of our Savior, Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. Bye.